Welcome back, everyone, to Overdunk episode 52. My name is Zoinks, and this is a competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am joined by my amazing three co-hosts, as usual, though. What's up, Doosnax? How's your week been?
It's been great. Glad to be here. A lot to talk about. Excited to just discuss some Unite, because things are heating up.
They really are. There's some good stuff, some good tea we got to talk about a little bit. But yeah, some exciting moments from tournaments around the world, and of course, teams getting ready for future tournaments as well. Lazanin, how has your week been?
Well, you know, it's been ups, it's been downs. It's been overall decent, though.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad. If you can find the silver lining and the total positive, that's a big thing. Ender, how about you? How's your week been?
It's been all up. I mean, living and breathing Unite in all facets of my life, so I'm loving it.
Yes, as the world intended, so that is good. As we must all shall live and breathe Unite, we'll have to do the same. Also, shout out, thank you, Celestial, for the Prime sub, by the way. That's awesome. Thank you. But okay, we have a lot to talk about on today's episode of Overdunk. So we're hitting episode 52. Last week, we went really in-depth with the Asia Champions League for week number one. We will be talking more about that right away here, about ACL week number two, especially because now we have seen every team compete. Every team that was having a bye week has now jumped into active rotation, and of course, so that works. We've seen every single team. Otter, too. Jeez, the love from the RIP Full Send. But thank you so much to everyone out there. And then, of course, we will also be talking some roster discussions in North America and EU as teams are starting to feel confident enough to throw out some tweets of their official announcements. We got to talk about how to actually do a good Twitter announcement, by the way. I have some strong opinions of who I think is in the lead of doing so. We will discuss those because some teams are clearly ahead on the amazing Twitter reveal race, but we will get into that very, very shortly. But first, we have to talk about ACL week number two. Now, I know we all watched at least some of it, but Asia Champions League is continuing on, giving us some good games, some very interesting metas across the world. But I just want some initial opinions. How have we felt about ACL week number two compared to week number one?
I5 is nasty, man.
Yeah, they are good.
They're putting the screws to the best out there. Shout out to I5. They've been a lot of fun to watch. I didn't get to watch everything, but I5 looking real flossy out there.
True. Very true. Lazanin or Ender, any thoughts on week number two of ACL? Initial opinions?
Go for it, Lazanin.
Sure. I think it's interesting watching the meta evolve. I don't know if I want to say nice, but I guess it's nice to see. I think people have finally picked up, wow, this Urshifu Pokemon, it's pretty good. I think I saw one of them lose, like, one single Urshifu in the entire day.
Yeah.
Which was
SEA is cursed. SEA is cursed to have Urshifu lose. I don't know how, but either they found an answer or it's cursed to lose. It's one of those two.
It was the latter. But yeah, like, that's been interesting. I think that, like, I totally echo Hi-Fi has been looking banger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that as playoffs rolls a bit closer, like, some of the teams will start taking it a little bit more seriously, because I am getting, like, I don't want to accuse people of playing for fun,
right?
But I get that little hint of it, you know?
Sure. Yeah, some interesting macro decisions for sure. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, maybe teams are not trying their hardest, and that just maybe undisciplined play could be applied to some of it. Ender, have you felt some of the same vibes from a couple of these teams?
I would say there's been definitely some moments where it felt like there's undisciplined play, but also a lot of these teams aren't competing with the five that they intend on playing with for the rest of the year, just due to the invitational system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, behind the scenes, we don't know how much practice they're getting, if any at all, they might just be here because they were invited. I5 definitely has their five roster and they're looking really good. The rest of the teams, I don't know how much of that is the case, though.
Right. Yeah. There is going to be asterisks on this tournament for sure, but at least we're getting something, right? I think we can all agree at least we're getting some competitive tournament with a great amount of coverage. I mean, this has local language broadcasts as well as English broadcasts. I think it's a pretty big step forward for this initial year of esports on this side of on that side of the world. So I'm really excited about that going forward. But yeah, let's get into the actual results of week number two. So I can pull it up here. Let's go to the group stage. So for January 13th, this is what we're looking at. We had High Five take down Eternity 2-0, and T2 was able to take down No Show 2-1 in their matchup. Now, Ender, I know you had some opinions on this T2 versus No Show matchup in particular. Is there anything you want to specifically say about this match?
I remember watching it. I remember watching it with a bunch of people in Discord as well, and all of us were just confused as to why they prioritized the top side of the map, you know, the Rotom or the Regieleki. I think most people in NA and EU, even High Five in East Asia and the Southeast Asian teams all kind of have that bottom Regi macro.
Right.
Like that's how they play the game around, and T2's not playing the game that way, and I don't think it's necessarily correct, but I mean, they are taking games off of other teams. They won their set, so until I guess they continue to get challenged, it's hard to say if they're actually, you know, it's objectively right or wrong. But I definitely I favor not the way that they play.
Okay. Interesting.
Can I sound off on that, Zoinks, real quick as a follow up?
Yeah.
First off, I think Ender is 1,000% correct. I'll be more willing to commit to the fact that I think they're playing the game incorrectly. I just think they're so good across the board that they're able to make up that lack of strategy disparity just on skill level. But basement Regi is where it's at right now. I think we're going back to the days of yore where it's prioritized Rednaw. Rotom is a fun conciliatory prize, you know, back where we used to be. Right. Basement Regi is should be a priority, and Regieleki is a good consolation prize. So I think Ender is 1,000% right, but I'm willing to say, you know, that they're just not playing strategically correct. And I think that's one of the reasons why High Five is waxing the rest of this group. And I also think that's why T2, who might be considered one of the strongest teams in this portion of the bracket, is finding themselves at the 1-1 record and having gotten rinsed themselves by High Five because they're prioritizing the wrong things. So when they face up against a team that they have a stronger skill disparity against, they can still make it work. But when they're facing against a team that is playing to the best strategical advantages on the map, they're finding themselves on the backside of a loss. So just my two cents. I wanted to sound off because I think Ender is 1,000% correct, and I'm willing to commit to say that they're just not playing strategically correct right now.
Yeah.
Also, like, I'll add a little bit, like, No Show pushed T2 like to their limit almost. Like, you shouldn't be having games that are that close when they give you Urshifu Scyther 2 games in a row. Like,
that's right, that happened.
That shouldn't be happening. And like, why are we last picking Disenjoy? Like, I have so many questions about those drafts, but like, those games should not have been that close with those draft differences.
Yeah, that is true. And yeah, there's definitely a lot of question marks and asterisks, a lot of punctuation around this tournament. Deucex, I love what you said, the days of old, of how we're rotating back to a macro rotation that is definitely very familiar that we could all remember. You know what the problem is, though? When they introduced Thea Sky Ruins, they put Regis on the top and bottom. Now everyone can't change their in-game name to rotate to Regi because who knows which one that means. That is just so unfortunate. We had so many rotate to Dreadnought usernames, and I think that helped the player base. But what are we to do now? I don't know. It's impossible.
No, yeah, you can use no Lecky. You can just, instead of saying where you should go, say where you shouldn't.
I see. Okay. There you go. Reverse
engineering. I've been terrorized by someone, I'm not gonna use their exact name, but it's something on the lines of Regieleki please in all caps. And even in solo queue it's a plague.
Yes.
I remember the legendary ignore Dreadnought.
Ignore Jaredna. Okay, well, yeah, so in the good effort to change the community's mind, there will always be the flip side of that coin. So we will have to deal with that as well. But okay, well, yeah, I think that sums up East Asia pretty well, in my opinion. High Five just looking fantastic again, week after week. We've now taken down T2 and Eternity. Eternity was the team that beat Secret Ship in a very close set, I will give it that. So High Five taking them down. I mean, they really only got to beat No Show, in my opinion, to truly prove. I think they've proved they're the best now. It's going to be a question of, do they mistakenly drop a game, realistically? But interesting group nonetheless. No Show coming out a little bit flat, specifically in draft, I think, is the biggest thing we could talk about. Let's go to SEA. SEA, week number 2. Secret Rare got beat 2-0 by Escape V. And Team MYS beat Team Rise 2-1. Now, Lazadin, I believe at the end of last week, you talked about specifically being excited to watch one team play. Which team was that?
Oh gosh, what was it? Who was the one that didn't play last week?
It was Rise didn't play week number 1.
Yeah.
I think MYS is like who we've, from the rumors, have been kind of saying is just sort of the best.
Yeah. So that was a pretty close series from what I remember. Like, those games are pretty back and forth.
Yeah. No, SEA, I think, is the most competitive of these regions. Albeit, I haven't watched very much India, but it seems to be the most, I don't know, even footing potentially of all the teams. Yeah. I think it's been very interesting to watch because of that. But okay, anybody have any opinions here on SEA?
Real quick, I'm very, very gassed up to watch Renaissance versus MYS. Is that we're going with Team MYS?
That's
right. Yes.
Okay.
That's what
fair enough. Because Renaissance doesn't square off against them until the end, if I'm seeing this breakdown correctly of the weeks. And Renaissance, and I'll be honest, I love it. I kind of like this heel arc that they're going on with doing interviews about how they're just rinsing every team from other regions that they don't. I love every ounce of that. I think that's just good competitive banter around the board. But if MYS keeps this run going, Renaissance facing them the last week is probably going to be like the best matchup that this is going to see. And I hope there's stakes on the line. Like, I hope they don't end there being the top two seeds and it doesn't matter who wins or loses, because I think that's going to be an awesome showdown, and with a little bit of stakes on the line, I think it's going to be a very fun one to watch.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Has anybody have definitive information on if ACL counts towards Worlds points at all? Does anyone know that?
My understanding, it does not.
Okay. I have heard the same, but I didn't know enough that I still had questions. So, okay, if we won't definitively say whether it does or doesn't, because we're not super confident, but Ender, you were leaning that you believe it doesn't have any hold on Worlds points at all.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
No hold on Worlds points, but it leads to direct qualifications, correct? The top two out of each section
go to the LAN final for an ACL, which is in Malaysia.
And then the top two of that qualify, correct?
That I'm not sure on, because the teams are kind of like mixed up through the invitational system. And Ice, who plays on one of the teams, told me that he doesn't think it does. I think the players are under the impression it doesn't as well, but we don't know for sure, I think.
Man, I would have bet my bottom dollar when I first read it qualified.
Any other season? That'd be a little weird. Finals, yes. Rules, finals, group stage, tournament stage, draft mode requirement. I guess I could click the rule book. I think it's money on this website what it's saying. But
man, I would have bet my bottom dollar I had read somewhere that it some volume of humans too qualified for world. I mean, it seems like a lot of work to be putting in to not punch your ticket. I mean, it's like kind of like a speed run of a bunch of
That's a lot of work for events. 30 grand max.
It's also kind of crazy that it goes all the way to mid-March, right? Because by this time, NA and EU, like, I mean, the rest of the world, will have had February finals and March finals by this time. Yes. So that's two tournaments that Asia, like, specifically SEA, East Asia, so Japan and Korea, and then and Malaysia, as because of Hi5 being there as well, and then India all just are don't have or not included. That being said, 18th, 19th weekend, I know for a fact it's not a UCS tournament weekend. So maybe this is supposed to be somehow mixed in between. I'm not exactly sure. We'll look into it, and I'll have more information next week. I'll make that promise for next week. Overdunk, I will come with actual information. So we'll take a look
at it. Good luck finding it.
All right. Yep. I will pull on whatever strings I can find. All right, let's jump back to let's check in with India. I know none of us have watched it too much. Well, I mean, that being said, Inder, you've watched this tournament live as well, right? So you've lost sleep over these games. Recap of schedule: Macros beat True Rippers 2-1, which I believe, from what most people were talking about this region, that would be an upset. Macros did have a bye week last week, but a lot of people were talking about how True Rippers is the real deal, but getting beat 2-1, and then God's Reign lost to S8UL 2-0, putting S8UL at a 1-1 scoreline. Macros and Revenant sitting at 1-0 each. What are we thinking about India? Any big surprises here? Inder, you watched the games. What are we looking at here?
I think they've started to also fill into the kind of global meta, playing around Urshifu. We did see, I think, one of the games Urshifu still dropped to a pretty late pick.
Mm-hmm.
So that was surprising. But no, they seem to be, you know, playing. They have their own kind of flavor picks. Cramorant is really popular there, which is always fun to watch, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And the games, I mean, in terms of them being competitive within the region, the games that I watched seem fairly competitive. They didn't, at least the first set between Marcos and True Rippers, that set was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, Marcos, you're right. I said Macros. Okay. Okay, very cool. So 2-1 between that one. True Rippers beat God's Reign 2-0 last week, which kind of gave me the impression that True Rippers was sort of the real deal. Do you think that the second game, them losing, is a bit indicative of God's Reign just being a weaker team in this region?
It could be. The first week, the drafts were admittedly a little bit more wild.
Okay.
So I think, you know, I had a lot of Indian fans come into my chat letting me know that
Otter,
behind the scenes there was, Otter especially, but behind the scenes there was a lot of discussion. A lot of, you know, the players were very unhappy with their performances in week one.
Okay.
And they went back to the drawing board and really reevaluated things. So I think they're taking it very seriously. And
that's fantastic.
You know, for a region that only had one team at Worlds and just got a last minute invite to having five teams on the biggest stage for them, I think it's going to take some time, but they're filling it out pretty nicely.
Yeah, this is dope. I'm really excited about that. Well, cool. Lazanin or Dupesnax, any opinions on the Indian region?
There was one thing I noticed that I found a little bizarre, and I'm not quite sure to think about it, but like, I don't think I've ever seen them trade mods after a draft.
What do you mean exactly?
Like, normally when you draft, you pick Pokemon in the order their, like, priority, like, is.
Oh,
and then you trade it to the proper player. I don't think I've ever seen them, like trade.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Just doing it. I mean, just pick priority. Which is ends like, up why, how like, you're lined up
Urshifu
in the lobby.
Ends up on fifth pick.
Right.
Like, I don't know, it's kind of weird.
That's what's happening. That's really funny and really unfortunate.
Go back and watch the VOD, because you can tell when people trade, because it like switches the portraits.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it happened a single time.
Interesting. Okay. That's a fun that's a fun thing to look out for in week number three. So get excited for that one.
India in week number three.
Interesting. Really? Okay, so January 22nd is only going to be India playing. Did not know that. Well, the games to look forward to are, of course, going to be Revenant versus True Rippers and God's Reign versus Marcos. Revenant versus True Rippers sounds like the game to watch for me. You can catch that live on Inder's stream. I'm sure you'll be watching live. if your sleep schedule can survive until that week, we'll see if you can keep it up. I'm going to bring it back to us here for a second. Awesome. So that is ACL week number two. I can't think of any big North American or European tournaments that have happened within the last week. Lazanin or Inder, Dupesnax, anybody remember any big ones that we should talk about?
don't remember playing in any, so
okay,
that helps.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I know Double Trouble did happen. I was casting some of that one, so that was last weekend. A bit of a smaller tournament, but still an exciting one using the in-game draft mode. So let's talk about that a little bit. I was quizzing you, Ender, and you, Lassen, before the stream. Teams, you are practicing, you are scrimming now. It's been really exciting. Actually, I was telling my wife when I got home one day, I was so excited because I was looking on Discord, and like every competitive Discord is like looking for scrim partners. These are our open blocks and everything. And I was like, the good old days are back. The good old days are back. Teams are grinding scrims, practicing drafts, competing against each other. Awesome time to be around the community. But Ender, is scrimming and practicing draft mode absolutely the thing to be doing if you're a competitive team?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's some of the most fun I've had with Unite in a while. The draft format makes a lot of sense now that we have a really big hero pool or Pokemon pool in the game, and mm-hmm. I'm just loving every moment of it. I wish I could get some more in.
Yeah. I'm sure you will. I'm sure more competitive will come. We will always find more competitive angles for you to compete in, Ender. Do not worry about that. Dupes Next, does it bring a smile to your face like it does me when these teams are just like the tryhard pants are on and we're back in the scene again?
Bruh. Please. Inject that directly into my veins. I think the breath of fresh air that this draft format and the client having it as well and showing that we're trending in that direction is not only incredibly validating and gives it a concrete push into legitimate esports territory for the game, it's obviously far more fun to watch. I mean, I love this game, as I believe everybody on this podcast does. Hopefully everybody that's tuning in does as well. And Zoinx, I know you and I are rare breeds where we do enjoy the 5-on-5 same Pokemon skill diff matchups to
yes.
kind of see where we can build some differentials there, because that minutia is a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But man, it is fun to see 10 different Pokemon square up. I mean, that is just such a good time. So I am re-energized. I think every competitive player is energized by it. And I think we're going to get a big boost this year in the competitive sense as a community, and as a kind of global respect builds for this game as it's finding its footing in the esports realm. So yeah, I'm all in. All
I like
in.
That a lot. All right, cool. Lazanin, how about you? Is it feeling like the competitive scene is truly back to its old life again?
Yes, in a lot of different ways.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. I mean, every scene's gonna have its positives and negatives. We cannot
yes,
ignore those. I'm, that is true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll get to that later. Right. But yeah, It's been really awesome to see like the scene coming back to life. Like everybody's a lot more passionate about the game. Mm-hmm. Listening to like, because this is like to like emulate the true UCS experience, I don't talk during our drafts.
Okay.
And like it's very like interesting to hear like because it like I'm actually becoming rather fond of the timer. Like, not gonna lie, it actually puts a very interesting pressure on people, and
okay,
like it really incentivizes you to pre-plan. I think it's like a super interesting mechanic, and like I never thought I would come around to it, but having played with it a whole bunch, I think it's actually pretty cool.
Where were you at beforehand? Were you like, I want it 40 seconds, I want it a minute? Like, were you way longer or just a slight extension on that frame before this?
40 seconds for the double picks,
yeah,
and a minute for the swap was where I was at.
Okay.
The swap could probably still be around 10 seconds longer.
I think it needs to be longer. But just for the fact of like items is my biggest concern. Like, it's going to be so frustrating if you're playing a Pokemon you don't normally play, you haven't set those up. I think that one is like that.
Yeah.
I don't see a negative in extending it, basically. But that's a really interesting point, Laz. Have any of you had any opinions differ about the timer? Of course, if you were listening and you don't totally understand how the draft mode works in-game right now, one of the biggest complaints about its launch, one, the bugs, which still need to be corrected. Please, 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 before February. Please, please, please. But the other ones are just, the biggest thing is timer. Teams have very little time to make their picks. I think it's 20 seconds, even when they are picking two Pokemon back-to-back. And then, of course, at the after stage, like after everyone is picked, is a very short timer where you have time to trade with your teammates. So if you prioritize the Pokemon high in drafts, but you want to give it to another player, that time frame is really, really short. And so that was a lot of player feedback. We wanted that changed. And Lazarin, you're saying you like it a little bit better now. Doopsnax or Ender, any opinions? Like, have you liked it? Do you want it? Are you more fond of it now after participating with it quite a bit?
I'll agree with Lazarin on the timer. I think at first it seemed a little daunting, but having played it, I think it definitely adds a very unique element to it in that you have to be quick with your picks. You have to think quick on your feet. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good skill to reward teams as well, like good preparation.
Okay.
The swapping and the item selection phase needs to be longer, though. It's just finicky. Like sometimes the swap doesn't work and you have to do it again.
Yes.
And it's just going to be a shame to have a game play out where two people are on the wrong roll, wrong items. It'll be funny at first, but no one, like, that's not true competition. No one really wants that. I think.
Thank God for the admin slot.
Yeah.
So much time in scrims has been saved because we've had like a random pick happen or a swap didn't go through or someone just trolls and I can just press the end game button and we just go play blind pick.
Yeah, just run it back. It's totally fine. I like that a lot. Doopsnax, any opinions? I know you and I aren't like competitive, or at least not that competitive of players as these ones are. So I haven't been playing with it very much, but been in tournaments and environments where they've been using it. Any opinions on the draft timer and things like that?
Yeah, from a viewing perspective, obviously the shorter the draft timer is, the better viewing experience, because people are tuning into kind of see how the teams develop and then watch them actually compete. Mm-hmm. So on that axis, I totally get it. I do like how it forces a new skill set out of teams, forces enhanced communication, forces deep understanding of what to do when, kind of like understanding the right decision tree, if this, then that type stuff, really eliminates like analysis paralysis, kind of something you and I have experienced when we do Unite Mike's Mayhem. We just kind of let, you know, for fun, we let teams, you know, really kind of hammer out their details here. And it gets to the point where it's like, man, we really need to force them to pick something. So on that axis, it's great. I understand without a doubt, we need more time for them to get into the Pokemon they want, get the right items, get the right builds associated with that, because you can't really have one without the other. So the time stresses are growing on me in the pick phases, but I wish we just had a hair more time, as everyone else mentioned, kind of when we're settling into the roles, making sure everybody has the right items and whatnot. So I think we're close.
I agree. I think player and viewer wise is fantastic. I will say, as a caster, I have to very much change how I would break down a draft normally when I am talking about a draft when it's only 20 seconds, because I'm literally burning time. Like, I would have to give a sentence of breakdown, but you're better off just kind of describing the rest of the draft normally instead of actually breaking it down. Then you have to save that for later when the teams are actually in, like, item builds and things like that, which is an interesting environment to play around with as a caster, but it's fine, just something new to learn. And if it's better for players and spectators, I do not care if I have to learn a new way to talk about the game, because that is not that big of a deal. But okay, awesome. Well, I think the competitive scene being alive again in an old fashion is a fantastic thing to celebrate. I'm glad we talked about that a little bit, but we got to talk about the players who are actually going to be competing, the teams, the staff behind those teams, all that kind of stuff. So let's talk about what I really think is going to be the main topic of today, and that is rosters. So this is going to include announcements, changes, things like that, your favorite teams, what they're playing with. Ender, you've kind of already talked about the team that you are going to be competing with in UCS, or at least what you've been playing with recently. So don't feel pressure, you know, no need to announce anything or bring anything up like that. But Lazarin, you did want to mention you have an announcement of your own.
Yes. So we had some, originally, like, we had one roster we were going to go with. We had some visa issues fall through, unfortunately. So wish Toon the best in Europe. I hear he's got an absolutely insane roster lined up.
Good. It looks really good.
Well, again, like, totally love the guy. We'll see how that turns out. Our new roster is going to be Slash, Overlord, Kyrios, Elo, and Oblivion.
Okay, awesome. So that is the new ascended roster. Awesome. Lazanin, you are the analyst, of course, and also coach. Do you have, which title do you prefer when talking about your team?
It's kind of a hybrid. I guess analyst is more accurate. Most of the things that a coach would do are kind of done among the players, like the VOD review, the a lot of the decision making is player led.
Mm-hmm.
I guess analyst is the most accurate.
Cool. Analyst. And then anybody else on staff right now that you want to give a shout out to?
Yes. The Morning Junior is our business manager, basically. Like, he's the one who deals with potential sponsorships, that kind of thing. He's been an absolute boon. We don't have a sponsor yet, but crossing fingers.
Cool. We all are. We definitely want to get these players paid what they deserve. World champs and a very, very strong roster. So, okay. Now, Lazarus, I'm very excited for your team. Everybody truly is. Even Otter, who's in chat. One thing we do need to talk about. There is a little bit of tea with this announcement. Obviously, Oblivion was on a team previously. A team that was performing very well was on Enigma. A little bit of a switch up, and now Oblivion is playing for Ascendant. I don't want to go too much into this because that's not really what this podcast is. We can't talk about drama and that stuff that in depth. If you want to do that, have it out on Twitter, have it out in DMs, whatever. But I don't want to bring that up too much. However, if you want to look into it, I sent out a tweet announcing this podcast recording. Otter responded with an absolutely God tier tweet in response. It is worth it to go look at it. Let's just say Oblivion was reached out to by a specific player who's also said things in other environments, and it's just pretty funny. So go check it out. But unfortunately, this does mean the dark side of this funny moment means that Enigma currently does not have a roster of five. These players are looking for new homes. Potentially we'll find a new roster to swap in. I think that is yet to be determined, but seriously, they're really incredible players. I would be shocked if we didn't see them competing in UCS Season 2 in some capacity. And on the other side of that, I'm super pumped to see Oblivion on Ascendant. I think Oblivion is an incredible player. Ascendant is an amazing team. They're going to be a very, very good roster. So we're definitely going to look forward to that. But let's talk more about rosters in general. We have some other roster announcements we have to go on. Now, I talked about at the top of show, roster announcements are a very fun thing in esports, and Unite's still getting its footing. So we're all going to rate these roster announcements 1 to 5. Not the caliber of players, but how they announced the teams, okay? So first up, we are going to go...
For the record, we're going to be announcing it formally on Twitter later with a real graphic, I promise.
You're 0 out of 5. Podcast doesn't count. Terrible announcement.
Podcast doesn't count. I agree.
All right, first, we're going to go across the pond to EU. This is a classic 1 out of 5 announcement. Chelvin announces their new team for UCS. Chelvin and Gek staying together on the team, adding Eberling, aka Washed Rookie, if you've seen them compete in a tournament, Lunder and Seryu, the Lucario EU god himself, are playing on a squad. Team looks nasty. Tweet does not. No picture, just words. Seryu doesn't even have an at. What is going on? 1 out of 5. Opinions on this one?
5 out of 5 roster, 1 out of 5 announcement for sure.
Oof, yes, yeah. Fully agree.
The announcement, I think it's bumped to 2 out of 5, not because of anything Shelvin did, but because of Chris.
Okay, yes. No, let's correct. Let's jump down. Chris immediately responds, "Looks solid. You will still lose to OCE gods, though." So, unfortunate little bit of trollage from Chris Heroes, but, has to come at Shelvin. Has to, come at him a little bit. But anyway,
about my boys at Eichlin?
Chris did. And said that they're gods. So, take it up with Chris, too, Zach. All right. We've had much debate about this team. But anyway, Deucex, what do you think about this team? Running EU right now. I think they've been going under the name of... They're either Talibolo Believers or they're the other EU team that's kind of running tournaments right now. I forget which one they are. They're either Team Shine or Team Talibolo. I think they're Team Shine.
Well, look, if you speak to any of the UCS players from last year, as the second EU representative, all of them will tell you that they undershot their mark that they had set for themselves by a galaxy. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just hungry to get back and prove that they deserve to be there. Not that they didn't deserve to be there that last year. It's absolutely not what I'm saying. But they expected more of themselves. I think a lot of us in the community that kind of analyze these things, that talk about these events, that were involved in these events, expected more out of them. Like I said, I think they just underperformed to everyone's dismay, including their own. And they're just hungry to get back. So, you know, and chalk them up as another team that I'm excited to see deliver on the promises that that they keep stating.
Sweet. Yeah, agreed. My opinions on this team are extremely high. I mean, I'm very good friends with a couple of players in this team, full disclosure, but I really like this squad. I am excited to see them get to work. I think they've been proving it already in the offseason. This team's been doing very well in tournaments across the board. Very good results. I think it'll continue. Shelvin is obviously a professional to the highest degree. Seryu, just a mechanical freak. Big fan of this entire roster. So I think it'll be a really fun one to watch in the future. Begs the question, where's the other half of Apprentice Unleashed? I'm sure we'll get an announcement from them very shortly. I believe they're sticking together. So excited for that announcement, but we have to look forward on it. So hopefully more than 1 out of 5 announcement. Okay, let's jump to the next one. This is a slight upgrade. Let's jump to North America Team GT. So here we go. Team GT Unite has announced their roster. Eggnoob, Kratos, Espo, Lakoding, and the newest edition of Regrets. Here we go. They did have an image, so pretty pog there. Nice face, some smoke in the background. They got the team name. It's pretty good. I think this is like what you should aim for as middle of the road. Middle of the road. Let's go 3 out of 5 announcement.
Yeah, I agree. It's got a nice little graphic, but like, I mean, they have a team logo in their profile picture. They couldn't have put it on the graphic? Come on, guys. Come on.
Ooh, that is questionable. B is in our chat, so definitely just some it came after last. Okay.
It came
so,
well, after?
No, maybe it's a scheduling thing, but either way, could sort it out. But I am okay, 3 out of 5 is my opinion. There we have Laz's Indra or Dupesnax. Any opinion on this announcement?
Love you.
Roster looks solid. I mean, yeah. Talented group of players for sure. Mm-hmm. Picture could use some work, but I mean, it's an improvement from the last one for sure.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. We're moving up. Deuce next.
Yeah, I think it hits the middle seam. I think we're right down the middle. 2.5 out of 5, 3 out of 5. Somewhere right along there. Not Bronco busting anything new out here, but yeah, clean enough.
Yeah.
Clean enough.
I honestly think this goes up to 4 out of 5 category, if Lesson is right, if they just waited a day and put the logo in there. Honestly, could have changed it all, but either way, Ender, you mentioned the actual roster themselves. I'm super excited to see this roster. Almost everybody running it back in this way. Obviously, some changes. Black going to play in LATAM. Adding Regrets, I think, is a great addition. Just a really solid player. Has had some highlight reel moments across the offseason and even just last season. So I am excited about this team. Really, really good. Let's jump over to Team Spinal in North America. We have a video, which I technically can't play the sound from, even though the sound is the best part. They did the classic TikTok trend of putting superhero behind it. Absolutely incredible song, and is very, very good. And the team logo over top of the video, very, very cool. Red Love, of course, tweeting out, "It's time, Spinal is back. Y'all thought it was over. I always come back." An iconic sentence from the man, Red Love themselves. Red Love, Stanley Fishy, Az is on this team, Grady Devon, Rhino, The Chad, and of course, Red Cat Manager. Logo by Don, video edit by Red Cat. Absolute fire vid. Again, I just don't want to get this video striked, so check out the video on Red Love's Twitter. It's really, really good. I'm gonna say it. This is like, this is, oh yeah, so let me, my rating though, 4.5.
okay, To clarify one thing, Stanley Fishy was known as Aimbot on mobile for most of last year. I think that's still his name right now.
Cool. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I have no idea who Grady Devitt is, though.
No idea. Man, we'll find out soon. They're going to have this logo attached.
There might be a player right now. I just don't know whose Twitter account that is.
Yeah, that's true. Ats are always hard to find, but okay. Yeah, no, absolute banger tweet here for this roster. They seem really good. I'm glad Red Love is still competing as it's just a really rock solid support player. I mean, really made their name known in the Hoopa days, but I'm excited to see them come back in a UCS for a season two. I've always thought they were a pretty big brain support player. In the game itself. Ender, thoughts on Spinal, their announcement, all things like that?
I'm excited for them. I think Red Love, you know, his personality shines through his gameplay in a way.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's always been the case. So I'm excited to see what he has in store for his team. I think he's a, you know, phenomenal in-game leader. And he's got some newer players entering the scene for sure. You know, the sky's the limit for them. And the video is also really funny. I loved it.
It's really good. Deuce Next, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Red Love and their support role here, but they've also played every other role on high-level competitive teams in the UCS in the first season as they're trying to find their way to their home destination. It seems like Spinal is that place. And I hope that this roster can stay together. It always seems like they've had some tumultuous waves around them, whether that's, you know, whatever the context is, I don't really know. I'm not in the chats. But a team that can stick together with somebody with the pop-off potential like Red Love, I mean, there's one of highlight casting moments where Red Love is getting, you know, Pentas on Venusaur last year at the UCS in broadcast games. You know what I mean? So, and I'm excited to see Azenable back as well. I've always enjoyed casting them. So I like this roster. I'm excited. I would like to see them kind of compete throughout the entire UCS season as a unit, maybe switch out one or two players as that is necessary, but have their core stay the same. So I'm expecting big things out of Spinal. So here we go.
Cool. Okay. I like that a lot. Well, let's move on to the final announcement I could find. If more come, we will definitely talk about them in future recordings. But let's go to this announcement. This is Amaterasu of NA. Truly 11 out of 5. The best you could possibly do. This is unbelievably good. Pays homage to Pokemon games, has the player names, has their player main Pokemon on there as well. Of course, in the sprites, there's even an Ash Greninja being used for trainer. This is unbelievably good, top to bottom. Everyone, take notes. You do not need to do more than this, but you need to aim for this. This is the best thing in the world. So read it out for the audio listeners. Team Amaterasu is excited to announce our Pokemon Unite UCS 2023 roster. Yeet Fan, Trainer LGC, JL, Nudo, and Rolling It Down, alongside our GMs, Geeks and Slotty. Really, really sick roster, and Eva just the best announcement by far, in my opinion. Thoughts on Amaterasu, everybody?
Yeah, goated. This is the best best announcement, no question. I think I actually quote tweeted this and was like, yep, this is where it's at. Genius. All the levels are the same. Like you said, you know, specific Pokemon have been identified in here that you can associate these folks with. Love Nudo. As long as there's no Combee on the other side of the map, it'll be all right. Shout out to Nudo. But this is S tier announcement, 5 out of 5, no question.
Okay, I like it. I like it a lot. Ender?
I love the announcement. I think I might steal this format myself for in the future.
No one could blame you. Absolutely,
yeah.
No one could.
Yeah, it's so good.
I will take a point off for one reason and one reason only.
The HP? Is it the HP, all this being the same?
No. It's actually their player tag is ASU, and everyone is just making fun of them, saying that it's Arizona State University. So I think they're not, they're going to have trouble escaping that, at least within, you know, the competitive community. So, I mean, it's funny. I like it, but, you know, just seeing ASU playing against them, playing with them on ladder, it's too funny.
Oh, I'm so happy you told me that. That is hilarious. Oh,
hey,
my gosh. That makes it better.
Go Sun Devils, baby.
Go
Sun Devils.
Sun Devils. Thank you for Googling that so quickly.
Forks up. Forks up.
Forks up. Oh my god. If next year's chat is not just absolutely cram-packed with hashtag forks up for this team in any broadcast they are a part of, I will be upset. Oh my word, that is amazing. Okay, very, very good.
Okay, also, yeah. Sorry to interrupt. That's just what I do, and I'm miserable. Ender, when you mentioned I'm going to take a point off, and I was like, what is wrong with this announcement? Because it seems pretty S-tier to me, and I didn't even know the ASU thing. But the fact that all the HP is the same for all these level 20 Pokemon is kind of sus. So if we're going like straight get into the details, it would have been nice to see the true HP of these Pokemon at level 20. But we call that splitting hairs.
What we will give them, though, is getting the gender for each player and then keep having the female. And I think that attention to detail there is cool.
Yeah, which is maybe even more frustrating why the HP is off.
Yeah.
Everything else is like every like minute box has been ticked. All I's dotted, all T's crossed. But that HP level.
I mean, it's tough, though, because they're all ASU graduates. They all graduated with 131 credits at the end of their 10
years. I'm
going to
look up so much Arizona State University stuff. ASU chant. Here we go.
This is so funny.
As a University of Phoenix student myself, L.
Oh, you're from U of Phoenix. That's rough. Okay, that's funny. However, you do need to give me your opinions, Lazadin, on this.
Okay, here we go. Their chant is actually fork 'em, not forks up.
Forkum.
I don't know if we can promote hashtag Forkum, but oh my god!
No. Forks up. Forkum. Forkum.
I like forks up.
Forks up.
All right, that's what we'll go with. All right, everybody here, you heard it here first. Unite mics. ASU Amaratsu. We're going forks up, baby. Forks
Someone
up.
Someone clip this and send it to Trader, please.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Lazarina, go ahead.
I'll give it like a solid 4.5 out of 5 for those like little details they missed. And also, it's the exact same thing as GT. They have a team logo. They could have put it there.
Is that a team logo?
Do they? I thought they did. Is that the profile pic? Or do they not?
It just looks like a generic like red flamey thing. But
I'm not following them on Twitter. I should follow them on Twitter.
You should. Everybody should follow them on Twitter. If you were listening on this podcast, go check out these team Twitters. Help support them. It'll help them get supported by sponsors and things like that in the future. So a Twitter follow is free. Amaterasu Unite is their @. Go check it out. I believe I retweeted this. Dupesnax quote tweeted it. So it's got a lot of. So find their Twitter. Go follow. Please, please, please help support the players in the competitive scene. We also saw in chat, Feppy was saying it's really cool to see that they have like GMs in the announcement and everything. Other teams have done this as well, announcing kind of staff in their roster announcements. Just shows that the scene is growing and that support is there for these teams, which is really, really cool. A very exciting thing that we have going on in the Unite scene right now. I know we didn't really talk about, but the Ash Greninja for Trainer LGC, very, very cool. Ash Greninja, just one of the coolest creations of Pokemon in quite some time. So awesome. Best of luck to Amaterasu and all the teams that we were discussing so far. I mean, this is going to be a crazy year of competitive Unite. Teams are definitely buying in already. It's very exciting. But we're almost up on time, but I wanted to kind of close this out with a discussion. We talked a little bit about it with some last minute roster changes. Dupesnax, you gave a bit of your opinion just a few minutes ago on rosters sticking together, rosters not sticking together. I thought we would just have a quick discussion on what we think of roster changes in competitive Pokemon Unite, specifically thinking about the UCS season and its structure. Now, Dupesnax, I know you probably have the most vocal opinion on this, so why don't you say your piece first and then the rest of us will chip in.
So I am a very, very big proponent of build with your team, have success with your team, suffer with your team, grow with your team, and you know, go through the whole season. I understand that that's not really the texture of this level of esports. You know, it's not the highest level, you know, where you have, you know, multi-$1,000 contracts with individuals, $1 million contracts in some cases, whatever. I get that. But in my opinion, that's even why it's more important to find consistency within your team, build within your team, endure with your team, and grow with those same individuals. So that's where my heart is. That's where my heart is. You know, this roster mania stuff, I understand why it happens. Mm-hmm. I especially understand the importance of CP as it being delegated this year. Could completely throw a wrench and you know, change the texture of how these teams operate. But you know what? I think having some faith in the folks you decide to strap up with here in February and carrying that through is worth its weight in gold, in my opinion, which is why, and I keep using this example, is Gengar's goons. I know they had their own problems, ended up becoming GT and all that stuff, and they actually found their own level of success further on down the road. But, I mean, Gengar's goons was a team that could never break through in those NA events, right? They kind of became almost the punchline to a lot of the top level teams. And then you find them in UCS and they're one of the top four squads because they've endured all that. They grew together. They understand. They kept showing up, you know, they kept getting their licks. It's like going to a Melee event and money matching the best player there. So you can just get experience to losing to the best player there because that's how you get better. And Gengar's goons kind of were the proof in the pudding, that particular example. So I believe in that. You know, I've always praised TTV, for example, for sticking together, sticking to their guns all year. And I really think that's how they were able to rebound and find successes when they did. You know, as we always said, like, where is TTV kind of in the April, March, April, you know, AOS Cup range. And then in May, they came back and won. So, you know, that type of thing. I'm a big firm believer in that. I think you grow through through strife and through conflict, and being able to resolve that and grow out of it is just a net benefit and a bigger result for the squad. So that's where my heart is. That's what I'm going to say.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, you've been very outspoken about this in the past, but I think it's a really good take. I mean, it is going to be the best long-term health for a lot of players. Sometimes, obviously, there's asterisks on your own thing, like you just said. Sometimes you do need to change a player or two. Things mm-hmm. happen between teams. We all understand that as well. But a lot of teams have proven that just over time, you get stronger together and you can make something work. My biggest caveat with all of this has just really been the structure itself doesn't really give a lot of benefits to just sticking together, other than mm-hmm. if your team gets better rapidly. If your team doesn't get better rapidly, sometimes it can actually hurt a good player on a team that is not as strong. So that can be a bit of a concern. But that's just one thing to look out for. But I'm more interested in Lazadin and Ender's opinions on this. Teams sticking together for a long time, or do you think that you should be a little more proactive with roster moves if you start to notice an improvement you can make or something like that? Ender, let's ask you.
I mean, I think it definitely depends on the level of success you're having. Like, mm-hmm. we stuck together all of last year, but we didn't have much of a reason for most of the season to not.
Right.
But also, I think one benefit of everyone committing to each other that, look, we're not going to go anywhere else. No one's going to go off the team. Like, we're going to be together. Like, you remove this element that, like, might linger over players' heads. Like, you know, if I perform poorly, am I going to be off the team? Mm. Or, like, you know, how long until, you know, I'm going to be replaced by, you know, someone else in my role? Because everyone's going to have bad moments. Everyone's going to have bad days. That's just, you know, the essence of competing in general.
Yeah.
So I think that really helps out teams. And I don't know. I don't have any regrets. Over last year, we stuck it out together. We found success. You know, we fell short at some points, but there's just something satisfying about, you know, playing out the entire season, you know, growing together, enduring together, the highs and the lows. I like it.
Yeah, I think everybody should. That's great. Lazadin, you've worked with lots of teams in the past, not just Ascended, but you've worked with other mm-hmm. teams as well. You've seen this environment change kind of team by team. So what are your opinions on this?
Yeah, so I do generally reflect the sentiment here where it is, like, generally better to just, like, adapt with the team long term. I mean, like, obviously my career doesn't show that, but
no, it's totally okay.
I mean, it's another thing for sports staff, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I do generally agree with that sentiment. I think this general format means that if you are going to make changes, you want to do one of two things. Either one, you make a change after either February or March. I don't think you can realistically get away with much later than that if you're going for a CP qualification.
Right. Yeah. I mean, AOS giving so many points is a concern. Right. Yeah.
Yep. And then at the end of the year, like once regionals comes around, people like would, I think what's going to happen is right before regionals, there's going to be a ton of roster mania. And then that's going to like cause people to form the best team they think they can to get that first place spot.
Yeah. And okay. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Alarm. Sorry. So
a nice alarm.
Yeah. So like, I think that those are the two things that are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it's ideal? No. And I also think that there's going to just be random roster mania's in the middle of the year because, to be blunt, it's a scene with a bunch of 20-year-old kids. There's drama.
And that's like, that's just gonna be out of our best control either as well, right? We're, these are what we think is the best way to operate as a team in this competitive scene, but it's just not how it's always going to turn out, and we all know that. My opinion's been, I share a lot of sentiments. I do think that making roster changes actively, I think ultimately it should just be a individual player choice sometimes. Like, do you think you're in a good spot? But trust your teammates above all else is like the really big thing. And if you can't do that, it makes it a really hard environment to compete in and to improve in. So that is just, that's a tough spot to be in sometimes. And I do understand some roster changes that happen, but it'll still be a thing that'll be debated. And I think we will never truly find a great answer, especially with all the kinds of teams that we have with all of it to find. But we are about at time, so we're gonna wrap up the show. Make sure to follow everybody here. Doobsnacks, where can people find you on the internet?
Mine at Doobsnacks, DOOBSNAX on Twitter. Let's do it, but follow at Unite Mics. That's the most important, and that's pretty self-explanatory. It's right, the logo's on your screen, so there you go.
No, that is true. That is true. Lazadin.
At Lazadin1 on Twitter, at Lazadin11 on Twitch, I think. Yep. And then, I mean, we'll be tweeting the official announcement soon, TM, whenever we get the graphic.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad we had this time to study how to do proper announcements today. Ender, where can people find you?
Twitch.tv/Ender, and then you can find all my socials through there as well. But make sure, you know, if you're in my chat or if you're in the Unite Mics stream, make sure you're following Unite Mics on Twitch and Twitter. A lot of big things coming. I've been loving the podcast, the tournaments. Really appreciate everything you guys do for Unite.
Oh, well, thank you very much. But you are helping us out a ton, too. We are all on this podcast together, and I've been having a ton of fun. You can follow me at ZoinksCast on Twitter. But yes, Doobsnacks mentioned it best. YouTube.com/UniteMics is where you can find all the videos. And Overdunk is everywhere. Every podcast feed you can find, get there. Also, I checked our reviews. We've been doing really well. We got like a ton of reviews on Spotify and everything. So thank you. I think like 50-some reviews. So thank you so much for the incredible outpouring of support from the community. It means a ton, and it just means more great Overdunk episodes are going to be coming at you soon. But that's all for tonight. Thank you everybody for joining. We will see you next week on Overdunk. Goodbye.